You're listening to the Magic Media Podcast, bringing you the latest news, stories, and insights about the ever-growing gaming, tech, and entertainment industry. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the magic. Welcome to the first episode of the Magic Media Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Farrell, and I have an exciting and action-packed episode for you. I'll be speaking with my guest, Kim Lyons, who is an Executive Director of Art for Magic Media, the leading global gaming and entertainment group composed of some of the industry-leading experts who provide over 35 services. But first, here are the top three industry stories at the moment. In our first story, Netflix is setting sail after they announced they'll be producing a live-action film based on the popular video game series Bioshock. However, it's still early days as it's been reported that no writer or filmmaker is currently attached to the project, though plans for the movie have been in the works for almost a year. Considered one of the greatest games of this decade, Bioshock spawned two sequels, Bioshock 2 and Bioshock Infinite. A new Bioshock game is currently in development without creator Ken Levine at a brand new studio called Cloud Chamber. One of the biggest record-breaking news stories we've covered today is about Amazon's recently published online game, Lost Ark, which has broken several playtime records on the Steam Digital Stormfront. The game hit an all-time peak of 1,325,305 players on February 12th. Developed by Smilegate RPG, Lost Ark is an MMORPG that originally launched in South Korea in late 2019, and on February 11th this year, was released as a free-to-play title in North America, Latin America, and Europe. Players enter the world of Arcadia as young warriors, mages, martial artists, and magic users, who've been chosen by prophecy to search for artifacts capable of saving the world from an awakening force of chaos. This is the second highest number for concurrent players ever tracked on Steam, behind the record of 3.26 million that was set in 2018 by PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and the highest number period for any MMORPG on Steam. Wrapping up this segment with one of the most hyped games of the year, Elden Ring, the highly anticipated collaboration between Dark Souls developer From Software and Game of Thrones author George R.R. Martin, is due to finally release for PC, Xbox Series X and S, PS4 and PS5, on February 25th at midnight. Because this game will be released at midnight in all time zones around the world, some players are obviously going to get their hands on the game before others, so be mindful of spoilers. With the Xbox preloading now live, we know the file size for Xbox consoles is 49.04GB, though this may increase if a separate day one patch is required. While the file size on PS4 is reported to be 44.929GB on PlayStation, there is still no confirmed file size for the PC version of the game yet. Though the recently released PC requirements for Elden Ring require players to have at least 60GB of free space for the game. Well, that's all we have time for in our news section, but don't worry, we'll be keeping you all up to date on our social media accounts. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram so you don't miss out. Up next, I'll be joined by our guest Kim, who'll be speaking to me about all things art development. Stay tuned. Well, Kim, thank you so much for taking the time and welcome to the show. It's great to have you on the first episode of the Magic Media Podcast. Would you mind telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Josh. Yeah, very excited to be here. Thanks for having me. Sure, as you said, my name is Kim Lyons. I have been in the video game entertainment industry for over 25 years now. I can't believe how fast it has flown. Wow. I started in the industry right out of college. I was probably my first art job was a texture artist, and then I myself moved into doing environment modeling in the video game industry. Started at LucasArts, and Whoa. Then moved over to Telltale Games, where I eventually moved into more of an art leadership and direction role, which is where I am with Magic Media now.
That's so impressive. I'm going to be a bit of a fanboy here and say that I really like the Telltale games. The Wolf Among Us is actually one of my favorite games that I've played. Great. Such good storytelling, and the art direction and everything like that is amazing in it. So yeah, this is a huge honor for me.
Thank you. It's one of my favorites too.
it's so good. I can't wait for the sequel that they're coming out. Yeah, I'm really, really excited to see where things go with it, because the storytelling in that was amazing. It was so, so good. So yeah, it's just incredible to hear about all your experiences in the art and entertainment industry, and your current position sounds really interesting. But let's not beat around the bush here, and we're going to dive right into things. So The role of an executive director of art is a massively important role that is fundamental to the creative process of any major production, from print media to animation to video games, like what we were just talking about there, movies, TV, the whole shebang. Could you break down the role to our listeners, and what would a day in the life be exactly?
Wow, that is a very big question, and I will try my best. I think any creative role, it is very difficult. That's probably why we're in it, to just say a breakdown of every day, because they're different. Every day is different. Mm-hmm. Certainly facing new challenges and new kind of opportunities, which is part of the fun of it, I guess I would say. But for me, in terms of this role for Magic Media, the bigger picture has been really growing this group of artists. And within that, it means really defining the positions that we need, finding the right people. And the wonderful thing about this studio is we are a global studio in the world of remote working. It's really allowed us to find talent from just all over the world. I'm so fortunate to find talent from the Philippines to Brazil to obviously Estonia and the Ukraine. It's really exciting to kind of bring all of this talent together in one studio. So a big part of the role has been really trying to find these artists, really define the positions the studio is needed to fill. But also, every project is unique. Just the same for video games or television series. You know, art styles, they really vary from very stylized to very hyper-realistic, very photorealistic. So finding artists that are excited to work on all the varied styles, but also helping support and really hitting that art direction for each and setting up pipelines and processes for each, because while these are very creative and artistic positions, you know, they are really backed by a lot of technology. So artists are also very much expected to understand the latest software for creating art, such as Maya or Blender, other great tools that are very common, ZBrush, you know, working in Unreal and Unity as far as game engines. These are all really important skills to continue to have as artists kind of working in the industry right now. So part of it is finding some training if we need to do it, but setting up people with, you know, each project has its own unique set of requirements. So helping kind of streamline that and get all the pipelines, the processes, the right team members on board. A big part of the role I will play sometimes is making sure we're keeping all the artists in the right art style. So that's a little bit of the art direction I might play on a project as well, is just really reviewing art, making sure that we're authoring it correctly, that we're hitting exactly the style, because it's very important for the clients that we want to make sure we are understanding and paying attention to their art needs.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like I just love the fact that, you know, everything that you mentioned there, especially the key thing is that no 2 days are the same.
They aren't.
Like one client, one specific art style, and another one might like want a completely polar opposite one. And it's just like managing the team and like, you know, following that creative process and stuff.
Indeed.
That's fantastic. And you know, this is going to sound like, you know, a bit of a newbie kind of question, but how big of a role does art play in the development of a video game?
I always love that question, to be honest. You know, what I have found over time is art is just critical to every game. I mean, if you break it down in a production kind of methodology, art is about 40% on average of a game's budget.
Wow.
So that is almost half of the budget is art. And when you think of art, I mean, it's really an umbrella of many disciplines. I mean, varied between 12 to 15 disciplines. From, I like to include animation and art, but animation can be its own distinct discipline, of course. But between Definitely. Animation, to UI to concept art to modeling. I mean, when you take all of these disciplines and you factor it kind of into a game and what it takes, it really, it comes down to about 40%, if not more, of a project's budget. And I'd say it's almost similar a television show. And if you get into some of these Marvel movies and these very CG specific films too, I mean, I know they look so wonderful to kind of the consumer's eye, but just doing one shot of maybe 3 seconds, it could take an artist or an animator months to do. So art is pretty much within the backbone of everything we do in video games. So it's a good portion, I would say.
It's absolutely fundamental. Yeah, like I've actually got a few friends who are in the animation industry here in Ireland, and some of them, they were even in the VFX section.
Yeah.
And just from this, like the stories that they've told me, like it's just crazy the amount of work that's put into it, and like all the time and effort. It's like, so I'd say it's probably just the same, if not more, for a video game, and how fundamental it might be.
Yeah, it's to, I guess, the testament of the artist that they make it look so easy.
Yeah, that's it.
Because the amount of work that goes into making it look so seamless is, it's a lot. But, you know, as an artist, what we dedicate our time to, and it's an amazing craft to be a part of.
And you really hone that craft as well. It's something that you constantly improve upon over time. Yes. It's like no one's just born super talented like that.
You bring up a really good point, Josh. I feel like there's people that feel like you just have to be born this way. And I will say it is like anything else. The more you practice, the better you get. It is not something you just born out of the box doing. It really is something that you continue to work on over time. And when you work in an industry that's so tech driven, my gosh, the amount of new technology that comes online yearly, it's a lot to keep up on, you know?
The trends and stuff like that is it's incredible. Like I know that we were trained a little bit in with Maya back in college.
Yes.
But I know that most people are using Unity now for like 3D rendering and stuff like that. But I know that Maya is still like one of the hot things at the moment as well. But it's just seeing, like, I keep hearing more and more about Unity than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, Maya is still pretty critical for creating 3D mm-hmm. models or and such. I mean, Unity as a game engine, I know Unreal and Unity are trying to kind of be an all-in-one package, you know, which is completely our future. But mm-hmm. right now, you know, tools like Maya, Max, now Blender, which is much more accessible to people, are really 3D authoring tools that, gosh, I can't see them going away anytime soon. But, you know, as soon as I say that, it's probably bound to happen.
You're jinxing it now. It's gonna change it next week.
Technology is faster than you can say. Yes.
It's nearly too fast at that point. With that, when I might just ask that, where do you see the industry evolve over the next decade? So like with how things are constantly changing and up in the ante, like do you have any predictions yourself?
That is a very big question. You know, for me, when you watch the trends and you do watch the development of, say, tools like Unreal and just the ability to author at a much faster rate. Like there are new facets to Unreal 5, such as Nanite and Lumen, which are just allowing you to almost put in endless amount of polygons into these games, which was never an option prior because of just compression and being able to in order for frame rate, all of these pieces just working with such limitations like we did, gosh, even 10 years ago in the industry, for games specifically, you know, being able to have endless possibilities in authoring using endless polygons and more realistic lighting mechanisms. I mean, I think one will probably be able to do quicker authoring, but two, it just shocks me how close we come to realism with this technology. I mean, watching and playing games such as Last of Us and such, where it is so realistic, you almost feel like they are humans. I just see the evolution continue to grow in that way. Yet, as an artist who loves stylized, you know, I don't think that will ever go away, right? Doing stylized requires an artistic eye in order to hit and make impact, you know? So I think these tools just allow us to make these games and this art hopefully just a little quicker with a little bit more possibility of pushing limits.
Yeah, the sky's the limit really when it comes to this kind of stuff.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like I would be more in favor of the stylized, but I'm always, like you said about The Last of Us, I remember seeing the launch of the new one when it came out, and I just was blown away by some of the cinematics.
Yeah, it's really insane. And it there's so much to it, the animation, the facial rigging, the modeling, the texturing, the material work. I mean, there's so much to it, like just being able, the grooming for the hair, it's, everything is so much more advanced. It's really, it's impressive. My mind is constantly blown at how we've advanced. Yes.
It's absolutely incredible. So if you'd like to speak about some previous experiences that you've had, and you don't have to name them or anything like that. I know I understand about GDPR and stuff. Let's say you started working on a high profile brand. What do you usually do with your current role? What do you usually do in the first week to learn about the brand? Like what would the creative process be usually?
Absolutely. I mean, for almost everything, Josh, it's research, research, and more research. You know, you don't just go and sit and start drawing or start modeling. I mean, everything requires research. And thank goodness we live in a world where you can just jump on the internet and start pulling up reference, start pulling up past just, if it's based on a movie, if it's based on a television series or a previous comic book, you know, just access it, look at it, reference it, start making mood boards, you know, just of past reference, but imagery that matches and where we could potentially push it a little bit more. Or if they want it exact, just go and find anything you can online or in books. You know, yes, we still use books. I do. Wow. I have a lot of art books that I still utilize, magazines. But it's certainly so much easier to access things on the internet. So research, reference, all of that. That is very much the first thing that we will be doing. Talking to the client, seeing which direction, what's important to them. Are we pushing style? Are we staying the same? Are we doing a kind of a different spin on it? You know, so those are the first things artistically that we would certainly do. And the biggest piece too, I always try to call out, and part of my history as well as of being a lead artist, is making sure we're able to push technology, but not push ourselves so far out that we're making it impossible, because we do need to work slightly within some of the restrictions we have. I mean, if you do too far, you're just setting yourself up for a world of hurt. We certainly want to push boundaries. That's what art is all about. But matching technology to artistic vision is very important. I've been on games in my past studios where we've really tried to match an artistic vision and technology just couldn't meet it. And it was a difficult process, and ultimately maybe didn't get the result we were going for. And not to anyone's fault, other than we just couldn't get there in time. And it's a little deflating as an artist and probably an engineer. So that's always critical, is matching technical to artistic and making sure we're capable of making something. And sometimes things turn out better when you work together, you know, better than you could even imagine. So work for an artistic or vision is, it's really critical to match artistic vision with engineering, just making sure that the technical and the art can match up. And sometimes what you feel like might be your art vision, collaborating with engineering, you might be able to even get something better than you imagined. So it, while it seems like the two are kind of polar opposites, those two worlds have to work very closely together. So that is another question we always ask if we're working with a client is, what are your technical specs? You know, are we matching up to kind of the goals you have, to the limitations you might have set for this, all of those pieces?
Oh, absolutely. And like, it's like what you're saying there, like, I mean, back to the research stuff, like as a content writer, that's like the key thing about my job is that, like,
the same.
constantly researching, constantly looking at articles, constantly looking at other sources, what's trending, you know, staying on top of things. And, you know, God bless the internet at times, as terrifying as it can be, it's useful.
It's very useful. I mean, I'm still a fan of taking a camera outside and, you know, taking photos of trees and grass and, you know, all of that valuable insight too. But gosh, when you're sitting at your computer, the amount you can access now, we are so fortunate.
Oh, we are. What you were saying there about being ambitious as well is that, you know, the sky's the limit, but it's also good to set boundaries. Like I've seen the burnout just with college projects and stuff like that, where it's like you take on a project that's too big and you, like, you're really, really hopeful about it, and you're like, oh, I know how this works, I know how to, all the programs I can use and stuff like that, and then you're a couple of months in and next thing you know, you're pulling your hair out and you're extremely stressed. And I've seen that in the workplace too, where it's disappointing because, like, the human mind is so inspired and filled with imagination and they want to make the next best thing, and, you know, we have this technology to do it, but sometimes, you know, it's okay to start small.
It really, really is. I mean, you can carve the cake however you want. I mean, if you have endless resources and endless time, sure, go for it. I have really not worked on a project that has had both of those or even one of those at any given time. So, I mean, you really do need to start. It really, the development cycle of a game is really, you start broad, big, pie in the sky, but then you eventually start honing in, like a pre-production coming into actual production. And you just have to start really honing in on what are the things that are important to you. And that's kind of how it works. You know, it's not the funnest part, but you know what? In the end, if it works out well, you have an amazing product. So
it's so much more rewarding. Yeah. So much more rewarding.
Yes, very much so.
And we've seen before with some, like, games and stuff like that, that where they promise things at, like, E3 and all these events and stuff like that, they promise them to the fans because, you know, it's obviously to try and hype the fans up and raise awareness. And it's like, oh, look what this game can do. It's like, but the problem is there is that you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot too, because if you don't deliver on that, your game could be absolutely slaughtered afterwards. Even if it is a really good, like, the gameplay and everything is fine, or the story is fantastic, or even the look of it's good. But if you fill it up with empty promises, then, you know, it could really, really do damage to you and the company afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
So just a little bit of a side thing rather than talk about the industry. Like, so what, let's talk about you for a bit. What do you enjoy doing when you're not art directing?
That is a big question. You know, I currently am I'm a mom, so spending time with family, I have found after many years of being so dedicated, doing 12-hour days in the industry, I value family time right now. But also, it's funny, being a working artist for so long, you kind of long to go back to being an artist where you're using your hands. And what does that look like? You know, gardening, or for me, not so much gardening, but, you know, drawing again, sculpting, you know, just crafting, anything to kind of get your hands on things and create something again with your hands. It sounds so simplistic, but when you are on the computer for so long, there is kind of a longing to just be one again with your hands and whatever you're creating. And also just being outside. I mean, these are things I like to do, you know, exercise, just being able to get my butt out of the chair and get outside and exercise some and participate in, especially now with COVID, you know, trying to get out as much as possible. But yeah, I'd say those are the main things.
Absolutely. I'd be the exact same as that, like, you know, I would be writing a lot of articles and blogs and stuff like that digitally. And I've noticed that I haven't even kind of written anything for myself. I used to do a lot of creative writing before. But like with like, especially with the pandemic as well, where there was more screen time than anything else. And, you know, people were finding ways to like find an outlet. Like I was sick of all these Netflix shows I'd been watching because I was just like, I'm looking at a screen all day. I need to get outside for a bit.
That. So. I know. And actually reading a book with pages. I mean, I love reading old fashioned books with pages. I mean, that's kind of an outlet too. Turning a page. It feels good. You know, that
there's nothing better.
Nothing. Yeah. I love
nothing
it.
Nothing better. And like, I know, back to some of my friends who are artists, digital artists and animators and stuff like that. And I know that a lot of them who would be animating all day and like some of them I've spoken to and they've been like, Jesus, I haven't actually whipped up the sketchbook in a very, very long time. I haven't drawn with a pencil in a very long time, you know? And
it's hard. It is so funny. You think that they would translate, but they don't. I mean, when you have a control Z on your computer, which is a erase or undo, and then you go to a sketchbook and you try to control Z your sketchbook, it's not the same, you know, mistakes happen and you kind of have to work with them. I mean, you can erase, you can paint over, but it's such a different medium. And you just start realizing, wow, this is, I need to do this more often, you know, like I am working with just raw material and my hands. And in a computer, you have such an ability to just kind of redo it or just, you know, control Z it, I always say. And it's not really the possibility with a sketchbook. So it's nice to get back to basics.
That's it. That's it. So like just kind of wrapping up, I'd like something kind of nice to our listeners. Do you have any advice for any aspiring artists or just creative people in general who are currently trying to break it into the industry?
Yes, I always love this question. I have two of my biggest pieces of advice are, I see a lot of people trying to break into industry or learn a craft, and they go in, they might try to just learn a software package. And my biggest piece of advice is fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. If you want to be an artist, learning the basics of art, shape, form, design, color, lighting, you will always have those skills and they translate to any piece of software that you're using. So fundamentals are key. You can always tell an artist who has that, who understands. If they're a character concept artist or a modeler, they understand anatomy. They know how shoulder blades move into a spine, move into a torso, you know. And if you're just picking up a software package, you could be lacking in that. You know, it's very critical that you understand shape language, that you understand design, you understand fundamentals. And these come from life drawing. These come from just basic drawing of the apple, like we see all the on the table with the grapes, you know, like really seeing how shadows fall and hit. So these are fundamentals. I mean, I can't stress it enough, but if once you really invest in learning the craft, learning the fundamentals of the craft, picking up the tools, that's easy enough. I would teach anyone gladly a new tool if I knew they had proper fundamentals first. And then number two, what I always advise people to do is don't just stay siloed in your own craft. If you really want to get good at what you're doing, understand what designers do, understand what engineers do, understand what producers do, you know, learn the whole pipeline. I mean, you don't have to be an expert in it, but the more you know about the full development cycle of a game or a film or a show, the better you'll be able to situate yourself in your craft. Because when you know your craft, but you're only working in it, and you're not seeing how, when you hand off your product to the next person in line, how it impacts them, it can be detrimental. I mean, you will become much better of an artist, of a team member, if you understand your part in the pipeline and have an understanding and even an empathy of those before you and those after you. I mean, it makes you much more valuable, and it makes you, I would say, succeed faster. It's all part of being a team. Collaboration and communication are key. As we always like to say, you know, there's not an entire game that rides on the back of one rock star. Like, it really is a team effort in doing these types of projects. So I am always a big believer in learning as much as you can about the full cycle of development.
Oh, absolutely. That is beautiful advice. That is absolutely fantastic. And I think as well that you can learn from other people, and not to mention, you might also be teaching someone else, but not knowing that you're teaching someone else as well at the same time. So you're constantly giving back.
Yes, absolutely. And it's eye-opening to see, while, say, engineering and concept art might seem polar opposites, how there might be some similarities there. You know, like, how maybe their pipeline is similar. I don't know, but it really gives you more of an empathy and of kind of what everybody's part is in the process. So I always find it to be so helpful just to have that understanding.
Well, Kim, that seems to be all that we have time for, but that is some amazing words of wisdom. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you coming on for the first episode of this podcast.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure, Josh. I could probably do this for hours, but I will leave you be at this point.
Oh, I'd happily listen to you for hours. Like, it's some really amazing stuff. It's fantastic. And I hope that our listeners do take away some key stuff from this. It's fantastic. And like, if people wanted to get in touch with you or connect with you now after hearing your gospel and wanted to hear more, where would they find you? Would it be like LinkedIn or something?
I think LinkedIn is probably the best bet. I'm usually on there and trying to stay on top on what everybody else is doing. So LinkedIn would be perfect.
Brilliant. Kim, thank you again for coming onto the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh. Anytime. I appreciate it too.
Take care. Thanks again, Kim, for coming onto the show, and thanks to our listeners for joining us. We really appreciate the support. We're really excited to launch this podcast, so be sure to give a like, share, and most importantly, a listen on all your favorite podcast platforms. You can find out more about us by visiting our website at magicmedia.studio. Stay tuned for the next episode, where I'll be talking all things online game hacking with Matt from Cyrix, a person who hacks for a living and has won awards from Apple, Facebook, Google, and LinkedIn for discovering vulnerabilities. This is one you will not want to miss.